www.thebestofbrandon.com.
Hope you had a fabulous weekend. The voice you're listening to is that of Kate Delaney, and the show is America Tonight. Left, right, or somewhere in between, we don't care. We take them all. That's right. Overnight highway, conversation, baby, a little bit of fun, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's what we have in store for you this hour of the show. We're going to have a conversation with Eleanor Clift. You might know her from Newsweek, the McLaughlin Hour on PBS. You might have caught her stuff there. Actually, interesting woman. It's funny, in my family, they either love her or they hate her. My grandfather hated her, thought she was way too liberal. My brother loves her. Kind of shows you the family dynamic. Speaking of dynamics, diving right into it, it is pure pandemonium, I understand. At the airport, and flying out of Egypt is a nightmare. And there are charter jets right now, flights that are headed to Cairo for Americans, whether it's civilians or somebody connected to the government, trying to get them out, taking them to Europe, and then they make their own way back. But, boy, you see those shots from the airport. This is radio. Just think massive bodies jammed together, pure chaos, as everybody and anyone tries to get out of there. It's been 7 days, going into the seventh day, of the army all over the streets, of the protests. You got 100-plus people dead. You got 2,000 people injured. You had convicts that were pouring out of prison. King Tut stuff almost ransacked. At the museum in Egypt, it is a nightmare. And what should the U.S., what should the response be from the U.S.? You think of Egypt and strategically, the Egypt being an ally. You think of the rest of the players in the Middle East. And what do you think the role should be for the United States? Nothing? Just stay pat? Because, hey, not another one. We can't get involved. Or should an envoy go to Egypt? A previous administrator, perhaps, go to Egypt and try to quell what's going on there. Hosni Mubarak, of course, the president, has been president for 30-plus years. The youth is saying, that's enough. We're tired of this government. We don't want this government anymore. We want freedom. We want free elections. We're done with this. We want a new constitution. And Mubarak is history. And, in fact, a couple of other, I'll call them front runners, are out there floating around, for lack of a better way to describe it. But you got protesters and pandemonium and chaos. And then this idea of what happens if Egypt just blows apart? What happens if it just blows apart? And how closely do those ties have to be with that country? And as somebody else said, what happens to OPEC if Egypt blows up? Right now, it's not looking good. It's not looking good at all. Mubarak getting rid of cabinet people, we'll call them cabinet people or government officials, replacing them with pretty much the same guys, a few different faces, but pretty much the same guys. So what should the U.S. do? Well, here's a little bit of the sound as far as what the people are feeling in Cairo and Alexandria and a couple of other places in Egypt that are being slammed by these protests. Take a listen.
He is not the president. No one voted for him in the Egyptian public. No one that I know from my relatives, from my friends, from whoever I met, gave him a vote, one vote. He's not the president. He's not. He just said that he's the president in this country, and he is not. The solution of removing the government is not acceptable. We do not accept this. We are the only acceptable solution for us is for you to leave.
No one is afraid of the curfew. We've been afraid for 30 years, and no one is afraid now.
It was very scary. No taxis. Looked like there was a lot of bad things went on in the square there at Ramsey Square. There are tanks, armored cars. All the cash machines are down. I'm running out of cash. Banks are closed. We want to get out so that we can get on a plane and get home.
So there's Americans definitely stranded. You think of even tourists who have gone to Egypt. In England, they say they've got 30,000 Brits that are stranded and are trying to leave the country, too. So you had Cameron and Obama holding talks and saying very little, in fact, just calling for political reform, whatever that means. In fact, I jotted it down because I was listening for the response earlier in the week when we were in D.C., I guess Friday. I was looking for the response from the Prez. And, you know, I'm not surprised necessarily by what he said. It was kind of that two-step thing, stepping away from ultimately what the issue is. You either are in or you are out on this one. You can't really play it in the gray areas. You're either sending an envoy and you're sticking up for Mubarak as he's really losing a grip on the power there, and you're rooting for another government, another form of government. And you think of Obama speaking in Cairo and how that was just broadcast everywhere and beyond. And then you see the thousands of inmates pouring into the crowds, into the streets, and just not in Cairo, but in the other cities there. You've got armed men that are shooting at each other from different areas of the street. Now, on Sunday, the protests in Cairo were supposedly pretty peaceful. Pretty peaceful, I say. But what's happening at night, nobody is paying attention to the curfews and pandemonium, chaos. I'm trying to think of every possible word I can think of. It's nasty stuff if you watch it. The looters, terrible. Looters in the prison, trying to get whatever they can inside the prison. And when you talk about King Tut and the treasures, because really when you think of Egypt, what do you think of the pyramids and the mummies and all that sort of stuff? And worrying about other things, of course, they're turning their back on the museum. And you have treasures that pretty much were almost stolen right out and from under the nose of the army that's patrolling the streets there. And at this point, because they're spread so thin, even with the number at 450,000 or whatever it is, first time, by the way, since the 80s that they've had the tanks and the troops out there, where are you staying? What neighborhoods are you pouring into? Because it's chaotic in all of these neighborhoods. And frankly, you have a lot of tourists there. That's why, while David Cameron and Barack Obama are saying, this is pretty much what Obama said, just, we want an orderly transition to a democratic government in Egypt, period. Not saying very much about Mubarak, not saying anything about the potential for whoever might come in, just orderly transition, that's it. And Cameron is echoing from England the very same thing. They've got these planes that are flying overhead trying to scare people about the curfew, but nobody goes home. They stay in the squares. So you got these warplanes all over the place. You have the trucks and the tanks that head toward the square as the protesters are gathering there and saying we're not gonna move from despite the curfew, because there was a 4 p.m. curfew that was ordered by the president. Naturally, anywhere you look, I don't care what government, you're seeing no travel to Cairo, Luxor, Alexandria, or the Suez. Flights from the UK to Egypt completely canceled, and so many Americans just trying to get out of there. Mummies, like I was mentioning, in the National Museum destroyed by looters who were trying to steal the King Tut loot. Oh, it didn't happen, though. They were stopped. Coming up next, we're going to lighten the load, and we're actually going to talk about Super Bowl food next.
Did you know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health? Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of only the most alkaline minerals. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins, and helps you regain health and energy. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps helps the body rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen content, and raises the pH of your body to healthy levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30% while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Don Wiskin, and have you ever wondered what the garlic cayenne drops could do for you? February is Heart Month, and we want you to find out just what can happen when you take the right combination of herbs designed to maintain our cardiovascular health. Purchase a 4-month supply of Extendivite drops or capsules, plus get a bonus month supply of capsules for only $125 plus shipping. That's 5 months worth of Extendivite for $25 per month. This is a Heart Month special to help get you started on your path to better health and ends February 28th. So don't be left out. Find out what Extendivite can do for you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
It's always hectic and crazy. We're hoping to get a hold of the chef to talk some Super Bowl stuff. She might have gotten trapped somewhere. Hopefully not. And we'll try to get her on this hour because we were going to kind of toss it around with some of that, what's going on with the Super Bowl. Being in the state of Texas, people are starting to arrive, believe it or not, already. You got your cheeseheads and the Steeler fans who want the front row view and want to inhale it all. So they want to be around for as much as possible to try to really soak in, I'll just say, the sights and the sounds, the people who have the bucks to do that anyway, or even some of them that have big corporations that they work for, and for whatever reason, a lot of times, and it makes sense, it's kind of a reward to people. Some of these big companies will fly out groups and they'll end up having their meetings there, their yearly meetings or whatever, especially if it's the hometown of whatever team happens to be in the Super Bowl. So we started off talking about Egypt and is there going to be reform? Is Mubarak going to resign? The Nobel Peace Laureate, Mohamed Al-Baradi, is one of the possible contenders, I would say, to step in to the leadership role there. And he is there on the square in Cairo talking about what's happened for years now and trying to open up more freedoms for the people and that kind of stuff. So there isn't any kind of, it's like somebody emailed me. There isn't any kind of a financial crisis because somebody emailed me and said, at least not right now, is this similar to what is happening in Greece? And the answer is no, that it's not similar to what's happening in Greece. It's that you have a push to say, look, we want free elections here. We want to be able to be, say we're part of a democratic process and we want change, and that's what this is all about. I mean, kind of similar to Iran in a way, if you remember in their last elections with Ahmadinejad, you know, and the push there with the revolution, and remember the twittering everything out and how everything was shut down, so the world, it were like a lockdown, the world couldn't know what was going on and people were being shot in the streets and how terrible that was. So at this point, to have the military out there is pretty scary because it's the first time President Mubarak, if you think about Egypt and how westernized Egypt is, the fact that you've got now these tanks, as I was describing to you, and that's what you see if you flip on the tube, you see chaos. You see pandemonium. You see looters. You see criminals that get out of prison, and they're roaming around. You got fighter jets that I was talking about that are overhead. You can hear their roar. You got the cops all over the place just roaming the capital streets. A lot of displays of authority, I guess, and worry about and concern over things spiraling out of control, you know? So now it's a jockeying for leadership and this mass protest movement. Will it erupt and turn into, it's already erupted, but in 7 days, will it turn into more than just a movement? Can they shake Mubarak out of the tree? Can they knock him out? I mean, this seemingly came out of nowhere. I was stunned when all this started to happen. You're thinking to yourself, if you just looked at a tube and you saw the protest, you see people in the streets and they see tanks, you're thinking, where's this happening? I don't know. You're not thinking Egypt, right? You're not thinking it's there, but it is there. You've got 10,000 protesters. Even on Sunday, they were there after the protest. Thousands and thousands of people, even young kids were there, and they were screaming, leave, 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 leave. And that's pretty much what the chant has been. And then, you know, the various possibilities for what could happen there as far as leadership. While you've got, like, the German Chancellor Merkel just saying, you know, let's implement democratic reform. Stop the violence against the protesters. You have Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister, telling his cabinet people that he was following this crisis pretty anxiously, because if you look at the peace agreement with Egypt, he's saying, listen, this peace has to be preserved. We don't want this to go down. This is too important. I mean, I guess it goes back actually 31 years. So protesters are saying no to whatever Mubarak is saying, whatever he's talking about as far as any kind of a gesture of reform, saying forget it. You know, we don't want to hear your gesture. So the question, like I said, becomes where do you see, for all of us listening, of course, in the U.S., whether you're in the East or the West or in the flyover states or in the South or whatever, what do you think the government should do? What should the response be at this point from the United States? Well, of course, getting the citizens out, and they got to find their own way back from Europe, because that's what the planes are doing. And pretty much it's just been a massive rescue effort trying to pull out the Brits and others, too, because they can't get the flights out. They can't get enough flights. But what Robert Gibbs said the other day, and this is what I was saying, there wasn't much of a response. He said, we're going to be reviewing our assistance posture based on events that take place in the coming days. Okay, what is that? That's like a whole load of crap. That's a whole load of nothing. We'll be reviewing our assistance posture, based on the events that take place. I mean, that's nothing. It's a brilliant sentence. It tells you nothing, basically. And that's what he said. That's what he said to the White House people on Friday. when he was doing his daily briefing, the White House the briefing, and there wasn't much coming out of Barack Obama either. You know, if you think about this, the State of the Union, of course, nothing there. And what happened days later is just what I said, not much of a response. Just we want a calm transition. We're calling for we're calling against violence. Refrain from violence against peaceful protesters, but not much of anything else. That's it. Because they're worried about the violence, of course, by the Mubarak government. And you think of the clash of the army, the police, and what could happen, the explosiveness of the crowds, and as thousands and thousands gather and don't pay attention to the curfews, as the days continue and Mubarak starts to get more frantic, that's when it's going to get even, I think, a little bit more ugly. And that's what the concern is. Of course it's the concern. Is it a small group? When you talk about Egyptian society that wants to see this flip, what are we seeing? We're, without explanation, what you're seeing is the police in the streets clashing with these protesters. And then you've got, all of a sudden, the police sort of vanishing into thin air, perhaps because they had so many areas to cover, like I said. So as they're vanishing, you're seeing this wave of armed robberies, even arson. That's what we saw in Iran a little bit, in Tehran. You're seeing arson in the cities and robberies, you know, you name it, and that's what's happening when you have chaos, as we know from things that have bubbled up here in the United States. That's when you lose control, when people are afraid, when people with children are afraid, and they're cowering somewhere in their home because they're worried as to what's going to happen. You got thousands of people injured, and you have more than 100 people or so killed as a result of what's going on. So this is definitely serious. Originally, I was hearing how many people are wounded, a crazy number, like 4,000 or so. 4,000 Egyptian people injured with this crush of the protest movement. And then the response by the government, not a good thing. I would certainly think that's not the way Mubarak wants to go. And I don't believe we're going to see an end to what's happening in Cairo. If anything, it seems to be coming to a crescendo where we're going to see bigger crowds, I believe. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, like I said, we're going to delve in to a little bit more of healthcare, and we're going to do that with Eleanor Cliff. But before we go to her, also, we're going to catch up on a few things as well. Plus, we're going to chat with Chef Kelly next about some of the things that you might do for the Super Bowl, kind of Cajun style, here on America Tonight.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-877-814-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. So, disable the cable and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. Right now, to sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and up to 4 rooms. And there's no equipment to buy. That includes your free HD TV upgrade, your free DVR upgrade, and your free professional installation. And the best part, the pristine digital picture and sound. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. So, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. 1-877-814-MY-TV. Disable the cable, cut costs, and get more. Call 1-877-814-MY-TV. 1-877-814-MY-TV.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh! We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
What bothers you most about menopause? Is it the hot flashes? Waking up at night drenched in sweat? How about the mood swings or putting on weight? Tens of thousands of women have turned to Amberen to get relief from their menopause symptoms. Will Amberen work for you too? The only way to find out is to give it a try. That's why we're giving every woman who calls today a complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen with a 30-day supply free. Amberen is all natural, and its safety and effectiveness is backed by published clinical studies. Do you want a life without hot flashes, night sweats, or mood swings? Want to lose weight, sleep great, and have more energy? We've made trying Amberen completely risk-free, and you get a 30-day supply free. All you have to do is make the call. To claim your complimentary risk-free trial of Amberen, visit GetAmberen.com or call 1-800-647-9277. That's 1-800-647-9277. 1-800-647-9277.
Fly me to the moon, let me play your music, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter.
Wow, so the Cheeseheads and the Steelers, some of them have already arrived in Dallas, Texas for Super Bowl 45. Doesn't even kick till 6:29 Eastern time. And yet, some of the Cheesehead fans are making some noise. They think that their team should be tagged America's team. They want to take it away from the Dallas Cowboys. I don't think you're going to do that. It's going to take more than this Super Bowl and even a storied history to knock off the Dallas Cowboys. But you know what happens with the Super Bowl? It's so much about the party. It's about the parties leading up to it. In fact, there's even a big thing called the Taste of the NFL. It's a lot of fun. I don't remember how much it costs a ticket, and the money goes to charity. And you have all kinds of food. You could literally walk out there like a bear, hibernate, and have all your groceries for a week. You just inhale those groceries of really good stuff. If you're throwing a party and you're not good at the food thing, what do? You just can't, even you guys out there listening, you just really, unless it's you're sitting there doing it by yourself, watching the game, you really can't throw just some chips in a bowl and throw out some dip. I think you got to put a little more effort into it. Maybe something kind of Cajun. We've talked to Chef Kelly Williams before from Louisiana. In fact, last time we were talking to her, it was about the seafood issue in the Gulf, and then the show went down to Mississippi. We ate a whole lot of great seafood and told you it was fine. We thought it was great, and she was telling us the same thing. Hey, Chef Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing great. How y'all doing?
Excellent. I got to tell you, I was in your neck of the woods. I was in Mississippi along the Gulf Coast there, and the gumbo and all that stuff was just great. We thought everything was fine with the shrimp and the crab and all the food. So we took your advice. Have you found, before we dive into the NFL stuff, have you found that not so many problems now with the seafood? Have you found that people are embracing it and you're not as worried now?
Oh, gosh. It's been amazing how the nation really embraced everybody and realized, you know, what a great wealth it is to have all the Louisiana seafood and the culture here in the coast. It's just fantastic altogether. Oysters, we're still wanting to see oysters, but some neat things are happening with the oysters as well. So, you know, we couldn't be happier. We really couldn't be happier.
All right, that's good news. So tell us, what can we do? Give us some things that we could cook that wouldn't kill us. Like, you know, I'm no Martha Stewart. I'm a decent cook, but I'm not Martha Stewart. So if I was going to do something kind of Cajun style, what would be some good dishes I could make?
Well, I got to tell you, right now, you know, when you're looking at food, people are having different things that they can cook. They don't want to get out in the bad weather. You know, it's just kind of bleak out there. If you're lucky to be down here, we might be able to do some grilling and all. But there's anything that you can do with a little Creole, little Cajun flavor can bring it up. And short ribs are the thing that everyone is talking about. It's hitting all the different menus. Everyone's loving it. But beef short ribs braised in honey bacon barbecue type marinade served over cheese grits. You can cook it nice and slow in the oven all night long, come halftime, pull them out, or people just can be going. You know, I also wanted to tell you, dips are really in right now as well. And we're real big into red beans and rice here in Louisiana, of course.
Right.
And like a layered red bean dip with some tasso ham is also fun things that you can do. It's really, you know, dips, believe it or not, are just sort of a new thing that everyone is taking their little pride and joy in.
All right, so red beans and rice. How do you make the red beans to make it taste Louisiana style? I mean, we probably all know rice, but, of course, it tastes different. It tastes different depending on how you make it. So what do you suggest you do with the rice? I have a rice cooker.
Well, you know, with rice, you know, rice is sort of a staple here for everybody. You know, when I'm saying with a dip, I love using those rice crackers. But just to have rice in any dish whatsoever, having a crock out there of rice already made, that's sort of a staple for Louisiana. Or, you know, up north you may have potatoes and those little fingerlings. Everyone's talking about potatoes and all. Around here, we're all into rice. Love doing one that's more going to be like a pilaf with a little saffron. Yellow rice and the Spanish little French background is also really great here in the South.
No kidding. What about, you mentioned the short ribs and stuff. Wings, you know, wings, chicken is always big, right?
Oh, I love it. I know. You got to have it. And I have this great wings. In fact, I think if you go online, you can find this one. And we call it our kickin' chicken. And it's a little hot, a little spicy, but a little sweet at the same time. If you can start with the base of, like, some bacon. Everybody loves bacon, but start with a little base of some bacon, a little brown sugar, and some honey. You're gonna have a great background. Now, we'll make it easy by, you know, you can find different marinades for it. One thing, though, is make sure that those wings are crisp. You want to make sure you cook them really, really good. So, you kind of have it crisp and that little crunch is just barely covered on your wing. Yeah, and wings, also keep them hot. Don't put them out to your guests on a plate. Make sure you've got something that's helping to keep them hot because, you know, wings just aren't very appetizing after, you know, after a few quarters of a game, and they're just kind of sitting there.
Yeah, no kidding. I agree with you there. What if you wanted to do some cold food? What would you say for cold foods? Could you make, like, little sandwiches? What would you do?
Well, yeah, here down here we have something called the muffalata. Have you heard of a muffalata?
Yeah, I've eaten them, yeah.
I was going to say, you've been down here before. And I just love muffalatas. I just think they're great. I love having that olive salad. It's like a olive tempanade for anybody else who could think, you know, from elsewhere. But that great olive salad and the garlic and olive oil just soaks into, you know, all the different meats and the cheeses on some bread. It can't beat that. That's always good. Other things that you can do, just make sure you can even just throw something out, like just some condiments. People forget easy things that you can put out or some cheese, not that you would be going for any cheese heads, but some cheese and different pickles and all. We have everything from pickled okra and pickled green beans and fun things like that. Keeping it fresh. You got something cold and crisp when you have something hot and spicy and warm right next to it. So you kind of have to go back. The whole yin and yang of food, you know?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, with this food, what do you serve to drink? Because drinks are different depending on what part of the country you're from, although beer, I guess, is a staple for everyone.
I don't know. Football and beer always seems to go hand in hand. But people are cocktailing out there now. You know, they're doing some fun little cocktails, making it really fun for anybody. For us, you know, I'm a big Bloody Mary drinker when it comes to football games. I love having one. Frankly, my Bloody Mary is like a salad with just a little bit of, you know, spicy seasoning in there. You know, and it's fun with Tony Sachery's because you can line the rim of your glasses for a Bloody Mary with the Creole seasoning, which is so much fun. It makes a great presentation. Have the glasses already lined up for everybody. But it's spicy and, you know, it's great for games. It's just great for games.
We should say that Chef Kelly she's the corporate chef for Tony Sachery Creole Foods Company. And, you know, you hit my hot button, the Bloody Marys, that's my thing too. So what do you put in the Bloody Marys? You said it's kind of like a salad, but it's got a kick in it, right?
Yeah, you know, I think with Bloody Marys, just don't forget the horseradish. You know, I think if anybody has, everyone has their own Bloody Mary recipe. You know, everyone has their own little personality. But I really feel like if you don't have that horseradish in there, you're not going to have a Bloody that really screams for what it is. A little Tabasco, a little bit of Worcestershire sauce. Keep it spicy. Don't be afraid to keep it spicy. And, you know, and of course for me, I love my Tonys and line the rim of the glass with some good Tonys. So,
right.
Yeah, I love that. It's awesome. It's awesome.
All good advice. If we want to find some of this stuff that we were just talking about, where can we find it online? Where can we find it?
Yeah, you can go online. TonySachery.com is a great website, great recipes, lots of fun. It's a great way to be introduced and then go, you know, if you want to be on Twitter, Facebook, and following what some great Cajun Creole recipes that you can have in your life for every day, not just for the Super Bowl, which is lots of fun. But TonySachery.com, or another fun way is to call 888-8-CREOLE, C-R-E-O-L-E, and see what else is out there from Tony Sachery.
All right, excellent. Chef Kelly, you take care. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot.
All right, good. Have a good one. All right, we want to tell everybody, too, there was some football over the weekend, of course. Do you care about the Pro Bowl? The NFC beats the AFC in a who-cares game, 55-41. That was the final score. You know, does it tell you much of what happened there? I mean, it's not even really worth recapping. Is it worth recapping? Okay, I guess we'll recap it for a second. It'd be fun to be in Honolulu and go to Aloha Stadium and watch it. Okay. But it was a rainstorm that was just stopped right before the Pro Bowl started. But that's what happens in Hawaii. So it was sloppy. The field was sloppy. And it wasn't that interesting. You know, there wasn't, you know, what was exciting to watch here, I'm not really sure. He had Rivers, who was the top passer. He had almost 200 yards, a couple of touchdowns, a couple of interceptions. Adrian the Man Peterson, he had 14 carries and 80 yards and a touchdown. And I could give you some other highlights from this. So Philip Rivers and Peyton Manning and Matt Cassell each throw a couple of first-half interceptions to help the NFC blow open the 42-0 lead, basically, in this nothing contest. And, of course, they come back a little bit in it, but it wasn't really much of a watch. I don't think many people were probably home watching it. I'll be curious to see what the, because, you know, the NFL usually rates so high, but in the All-Star game, if you will, the Pro Bowl game, will they set any records for people watching? I'm going to say not that many people tuned in. Were you one of the people that tuned in? All right. Coming up next, conversation about healthcare. Stay with us.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding. It made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month had completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
If you're serious about playing college football, give yourself the competitive edge with the National Underclassmen Football Combine. The NUC is the longest-running underclassmen event and the most respected combine and football camp in the nation. Specifically designed to give athletes early recruiting exposure, there's no better time than now to compete in the National Underclassmen Football Combine. Call 888-NUC-MVP1 or go to nationalunderclassmen.com to find out more.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
Washington, D.C. What a treat for me. Eleanor Cliff is sitting right before me from Newsweek, and we watch her all the time on PBS and everything else. I'm sure they are beating down your door to have you come on the shows.
Well, this is my hometown.
And so, you're the insider.
And you're here when we've had one of our major snowstorms, which kind of shut the city down yesterday, but things are halfway back to normal today.
Yes, actually, tell me about that. There was some scuttlebutt about the president. What will we do if he has to be evacuated, and how it took an hour to get him back?
Well, he got caught in one of the incredible traffic jams. It was just gridlock, and people were abandoning their cars on the side of the road, and so his motorcade couldn't just zip through like it normally does.
Right.
And a 10-minute drive apparently took an hour. So I think that's character building. Reminds him of what life is like outside the bubble.
There you go. I like that, outside the bubble. Speaking of outside the bubble and inside the bubble, you're here in the Beltway, definitely an insider. What is going on with the... First, we get the Affordable Care Act. It's been 10 months. No doubt, certainly we knew that the Republicans would try to harpoon it. You get the vote for the repeal, but really the numbers aren't in the Senate, and of course the president, as you know, has the veto power. Do you think that this is going to gain some steam, and there should be some people concerned about the possibility?
Well, I call the repeal effort political gasbaggery on the McLaughlin group, and it really is a sideshow. But repeal is not going to go through. But if the Republicans keep at this, in 2 years, Republicans could likely control the Senate. I'm thinking that the president is in a pretty good position to be reelected, so his veto pen will still be there. But the Republicans can make mischief. They can try to slow down implementation. They can defund various aspects of the bill or the agencies that are charged with implementing the bill. And they can continue their sort of verbal assault, which worked very well in labeling it, you know, big government takeover, which PolitiFact called the biggest lie of last year. So, I mean, and they could frighten people about death panels. And the irony is the Republicans are so keen on cutting the deficit and slowing spending, and yet every little part of the health care bill that is designed to slow spending, they are going after. So it's mostly politics, but you never want to underestimate the opposition.
Absolutely. The president today, in talking to a very excited group that he had addressed 4 years previous before he was even running for president. I mean, it was in the air, but it wasn't for sure. And he talked, obviously, about this was a mandate he wanted to see, and here we are, and everybody's excited. And he talked about, well, but now we have to move forward. This has to go forward. So forget the whole fight. You won. We got the Affordable Care Act. Isn't that great? But now we got to do some things to push this ball forward. What do you think the most important thing is that needs to be implemented now? Because there's lots of confusion, as you know, out there and misinformation.
Well, first of all, this president is very keen on not relitigating past fights, so he always wants to move forward. And a major piece of legislation like this is a work in progress, so there will be elements that need fixing, and he came out in the State of the Union. Apparently, there's one aspect of the bill where small businesses have to file 1099s every time they pay a provider $600 or more, and that could really be an awful lot of paperwork for some businesses. So I think there's recognition across the board that that needs a fixing. And I think it's mostly a messaging war now, that the pro-healthcare reform side has to get out the positive aspects of this bill that are already in effect and which ones will be coming online. Because the truth is, the core of the bill, the medical exchanges where people can shop competitively for different policies, really won't be up until 2014.
Right.
And so I think that's it's difficult to get people to rally around a bill that really hasn't taken effect, and which is why that the White House and the Democrats really have to highlight some very important provisions that are in effect now, and the insurance companies are acting in good faith on the assumption they're going to get a whole bunch of more customers so that it makes it financially worthwhile for them not to discriminate if you have a pre-existing condition, to remove the lifetime caps on how much you can receive in the way of benefits, you know, to let young adults stay on their parents' health policies. Those are all significant changes, and they're in effect now.
Yeah. On a personal note, because for how long that you have covered various administrations, you saw Hillary Clinton push this and then get pushed back. You probably weren't surprised, but what was your initial reaction, Eleanor, to, wow, this finally happened? What was your reaction to, I've seen healthcare get shot down, picked apart, it's been like a buzzard over Washington for decades.
It was a very anticlimactic win because of the deals that were made to get to the finish line. And some of those deals were reneged because they really were quite sordid, the Cornhusker deal or whatever. And I think that politically, the president, you would think the first president to get insurance coverage for everybody, a goal of Democrats and some Republicans,
yes,
too, for, you know, 60-odd years, you would think he would have gone up in the polls, but he didn't. He may even have lost a couple of points because getting there was just so painful.
Yeah.
And I think President Obama must be frustrated. He feels like, you know, he threw his body across the railroad tracks to get this done. And very few people are saying, you know, good job. They're saying, you know, it needs fixing. We don't like it.
Right.
And it still doesn't do well in the polls.
Yeah. John Boehner, House Speaker John Boehner, of course, now constantly hammering with the job killing. As you said, it's this war of words.
Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised that Obama hasn't, I mean, he's talking about civility, and he's been very hands-off as far as he's not taking the, I'll call it the low road, he's not trying to attack Boehner where he could make slight comments, or the Republicans, but is that a good strategy, do you think?
Well, he attacked Boehner during the campaign, and that didn't work very well. Most people didn't know who he was, and they still don't know.
Right.
And I think, actually, Speaker Boehner has been doing a pretty good job.
Right.
He's got an enormous task in trying to blend all the new Tea Party advocates and activists, really, with the more establishment Republican Party. And he's not going to be the convenient target for Democrats that Newt Gingrich was. I mean, he's kind of a, you know, laid-back guy. He doesn't seem to take things too seriously. And he could turn out to be a good working partner for the White House. I mean, that's the optimistic spin.
Yeah, and he was a Democrat, remember, until he got into business. And
that's
then,
right.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ones who were on the other side, I mean, Ronald Reagan, former Democrat, they have a little more sympathy across the political lines. I'd love to know what his, I think he's one of 12. I'd love to know what the political sympathies of his siblings are, if they all have made the trip across the political divide from FDR Democrats to Reagan Republicans.
Yeah.
That Boehner made.
Yeah, no kidding. I'd be remiss not to ask you this, because you talk about it a lot on the air and everybody's speculating that, you know, 2012, you look at Obama now, he has gone up in the polls. As you mentioned, no bounce really with health care, but he has lately gone up in the polls. Do you give this president a pretty good chance, if you were handicapping it, to get his second term?
I do. I mean, a lot. His biggest enemy is the unemployment rate. I mean, he's got to get that, if not down, at least heading down. If he can get it heading towards 8%, I think that would be very helpful. I mean, that's his biggest obstacle. I don't think there's going to be a serious challenge to him within the Democratic Party. I think if it came from the progressive side, I think most progressives seem to understand that that would damage his chances of re-election, and then you look across at what the Republicans are serving up, and do you really want that to happen? So that's a powerful disincentive, I think,
yeah,
to mount a challenge against him. And then I look at the candidates, probably a dozen or more Republican candidates, but there's no one that says to me, "Ooh, this is serious."
Yeah.
So I'd put the president's reelect chances at much better than 50%.
Yeah. Somebody said to me today, Palin Bachman. I said, what? Who's floating that?
Is that a reality show?
Yeah,
or is that, I mean,
that was almost my response.
Yes.
Yes. Please.
If it's Palin-backed Bachman, they would be basically conceding the election and saying, you know, let's just have some fun.
Let's have some fun. Yeah, you don't think they want to do that. Eleanor, what a delight to have you on America Tonight.
Well,
thank you so much
for
stopping by. We appreciate it.
Sure.